If you have a Bible, you can go to Isaiah chapter 41. And we'll read verses 8 through verse number 13. About 9 years ago, I preached a series called "Fear Not" on Wednesday nights, and I think I'm gonna, because it was 9 years ago and it was a Wednesday night, the crowd would have been very small, and of course, who remembers, you know, what I preached last Sunday? But I think what I'm going to do is over the next year, I think I'm going to revisit those sermons randomly over the next year, because the fear not found in the Bible make a wonderful study. If you have any kind of a way to, I would hope that most of you on your home computers would have some type of Bible on the computer. If you don't, let me recommend eSword. Is a wonderful, wonderful tool. I use it every day. eSword, I believe it's free. It is a premier software. It's a wonderful software. Another one that I would recommend that I think you may have to pay for it is Sword Searcher. Sword Searcher. I use it every day too. I have the Bible on my computers when I'm preparing for a sermon. I have three Bibles open on my computer. One Bible stays on my text. Another one of the Bible programs goes and visits other verses. And then another Bible program is there for whatever I need it for. So I use eSword, E as an electronic sword. I recommend that. I believe it's free. Sword Searcher. That may be a paid version, but that's an excellent tool. And I have no idea where I'm going with this story. Yes, thank you, Shannon. Thank you. Your wife thinks what you are going to say before you say it. My wife knows what I can't think of. So if you would search Fear Not in an electronic version of your Bible, it'd be a wonderful, wonderful study. As a matter of fact, I believe that there are, I read somewhere that there are 365 variations. Now, variations, so not the phrase fear not, but the variations of that phrase, there are 365 of them found in the scriptures. And someone pointed out that's one fear not for every day of the year. That's a fear not for every day of the year, which we need. So I think that over the next year, randomly, I will bring up one of these decade-old lessons and go over it with you. Isaiah chapter number 41, chapter 41, we'll start with verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Now, that's something that you ought to put on your refrigerator or your bathroom mirror or in a frame on the wall. Certainly, that's something that we ought to commit to memory. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Aren't those wonderful words? I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a wonderful picture? God holding our right hand and telling us to not be afraid. Notice, if you will, before he tells his people to not be afraid, before he tells them to fear not, he grasps their hand. Let me turn this fan down one notch. He grabs a hold of their hand, and then he tells them, fear not. He gives them a comforting touch as he squeezes their hand and gives them assurance. Then he says, fear not. Now let's just be real here. That's kind of the opposite of most earthly fathers. Most earthly fathers goad their children. Ah, grow up. Ah, don't be afraid. Ah, you're fine, you know. And then mom runs to the aid and the father says, oh, don't coddle that child. You know, they gotta. And that's many times how fathers act. Don't be afraid. You're fine. Get off me. You're fine. That child is petrified. That child is genuinely afraid. And what that child needs is a parent's hand to hold his or her hand. And that child needs to be reassured that I'm with you. Your dad is with you. Your mom is with you. Don't be afraid. I've got you. I'll protect you. That's what that child needs. You know, God does not just sit on his throne in the heavens dictating like to a secretary and forwarding on messages of comfort to us. But according to the imagery here, and it's imagery, but according to the imagery here, he comes right to our side when we call upon him. And he takes our hand and he grabs it tight and he holds on to it. And with a calming voice, God says to us to not be afraid. Now, I want to draw a picture in your mind this morning about that. A grasping of the hand. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. That's what I want to draw your attention to this morning, is that hold your right hand. And I want us to consider six mercies and blessings of God's tender but firm grasp of our hand. All right, six mercies and blessings of God reaching down and taking our hand and holding it firmly and whispering to us to fear not. The first thing that should be the top of the list, and it's the top of my list here, is in Psalm 18:16. Psalm 18:16. We see something that reminds us of something else. The psalmist says that he sent from above and he took me and he drew me out of many waters. The psalmist also talks about sinking in the miry clay and God reaching down and grabbing hold of him and pulling him up and putting his feet on the rock to stay. And both of these, Psalm 18:16 and then the one where his feet is set on solid rock, both of these are graphic illustrations of man's helplessness and hopelessness in sin before God reached down and saved him. Sinking amidst the swirling waters and the crashing waves. Now, Albert, that day so many, many, many years ago, when a few of us adults, well, that was Janet was there. I think it was just the three of us. I think it was just the three of us. I don't see anyone else here that was there. No, none of my boys were there. No. Jared was there. I got a picture. And we all went up whitewater rafting. And we didn't know what we were doing. We knew that. And so we picked a class two. That's low, right? Anybody know that's low? Class two? The issue was that it had rained most of the week prior to our event. And the class two was now probably, I don't know, at least a class three or higher. And we got in those boats, you know, a bunch of adults, a bunch of teens. And the first boat tipped over like almost immediately. And I was one laughing and just like, oh, this is going to be such a fun, great trip. Until much later, the boat that I was in, were you in my boat, Janet? You and three other women, you and two other women, and me.
Just Helen.
Well, I'm putting all the blame on you guys because. We come into this rapids, and you know it's bad. You know it's bad because people had pulled over and were taking their lunch on both sides of the river to watch. To watch that rapid and that curve. Seriously, there were people all up both sides, remember, having lunch, and they actually had a lifeline. And our boat turned sideways and hit a rock dead sideways, threw us into the white water. And I honestly thought that I was going to die. I absolutely expected to die. They threw that lifeline out there, and just as soon as it hit the water, it would disappear in the white water. And every time I would try to grab a breath, a new wave would crash over top, and I couldn't get a breath. And the only thing I could think of was Shannon was going to kill me for dying this way. Somehow she'll bring me back to life and kill me again. Man is sinking in swirling waters, battered and bruised and thrown against the rocks. No footing, no firm ground to stand upon. Helpless, hopeless, going to die. Or you can take and think about the muck and the mire sinking down in quicksand and nothing to reach for and nothing to grab. Is there no help? Is there no hope? Yes, there is, my friend, there is. If you would cry as Peter did, Lord, save me. The Lord would reach down and pull you out of that muck and mire of sin. He would pull you out of those swirling, crashing waters of sin, and He would save you. The help comes from without ourselves. The help comes from above ourselves. He sent from above, and He took me, and He drew me out. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not within ourselves. It is not by ourselves. It is not of ourselves. Salvation is outside of ourselves. It is above ourselves. And we need to cry to Him, Lord, save me. And He will reach down as He did with Peter in Matthew 14:31. He will stretch forth His hand, the Bible says, and caught him. Remember Peter. That's another perfect illustration of us sinking in sin. And Peter began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord stretched out His hand and caught Peter and pulled him to safety. The Lord's grasp is the grasp of salvation. And if you're here this morning and you're sinking lower and lower in your own sin, in your own filth, in your own depravity, you're sinking lower and lower, and you feel there's no help and there's no hope, and your life is going downward to hell, you need to cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And He will stretch out His hand, and He will grab yours. And He'll pull you in to safety. He'll set your feet on a rock. He'll put a new song in your heart. And He'll secure you. And that brings us to the second point. The grasp not only of salvation that pulls us up out of the sinking sand, but the grasp of security to be set on the solid rock. The Bible says in John 10:28, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There's the grasp of salvation, which I hope that you've cried to the Lord to save you, and I hope that He has reached down with His hand and grasped you and pulled you and set your feet on the rock and put a new song in your heart. But I want you to know from that point on, if you are genuinely a born-again child of God, there is security. And no man can pluck us out of God's hand. It's even silly to think about. It's even silly to think about that someone could pluck us out of God's hand. And if that wasn't enough assurance of security, there's a double security. And I don't know if you knew that. There's a double security. The believer is not just secure, but he's doubly secure. Because John 10:29, the very next verse says, My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So no man can pluck us out of Christ's hand. And Christ's hand is in the Father's hand. We are, as a believer, as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are doubly secure in Christ's hand and in the Father's hand. Now let me say this. Security obviously only works if you're in Christ. One thing the preacher does not want to do is give assurance of security to fake Christians. Don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. If you're a genuine child of God, a real believer in Christ, a real follower of Christ, you have that double security. and you cannot ever perish, and you cannot ever be lost. And God will never expel you from his family. You know, in earthly families, we can be expelled. We can be forgotten. We can be brushed off. We can be set aside. We can be disowned. We can be taken out of the will in earthly families. But not with God. Not with God. What a blessing to know that we are secured by God the Father and God the Son. Oh, wait a minute. There's more. We're not just doubly secured, we are triple secured. Do you know that? We're triple secured because Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Triple lock security for the believer. You can't lose that. You can't lose your salvation. You can't. Now, you can apostatize if you are not a genuine believer. But people do that all the time. People do that all the time. Last week, I mentioned Bob Dylan, a man with a Jewish history, singer. Most of the older crowd knows who Bob Dylan is. The younger crowd is now Googling. A Jewish man who came to Christianity in the late 70s, spent a few years in Christianity, and then by the mid 80s left, and does not want to talk about that time period, has nothing good to say about it. He left. That is what apostasy is. Trying the Lord Jesus Christ and then walking away. That person was never a believer. They're never a child of God. What a blessing. In the Savior's hand, in the Father's hand, in the Spirit's hand. And so there's that grasp of salvation. There's that grasp, that triple grasp of security. And then in our text, there's a grasp of confidence. Of confidence. He gives them all of this confidence. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Fear not. I'm holding your hand. This confidence. Listen, a little child is full of fear and trembling. And I know that, you know, dads get a kick out of that. I understand that. Dads get a kick out of that. But they're genuinely afraid until you hold them, you pick them up, you hold their hand, and you feed them words to calm their fears. And you feed them words to give them confidence. And that's what a good dad does. It's exactly what the Lord desires to instill in us as he grasps our hand and he assures us that there's nothing to be afraid of. He wants us to have confidence in him. He wants us to be assured of him. He wants us to lean upon him, not confidence in yourself. Put no confidence in the flesh, the Bible says. Don't put confidence in yourself. You're going to let yourself down over and over and over again. You shouldn't confess this to you. You can't believe how many times I say, "Stupid Dave, I hate you. You're so dumb." Maybe I'm the only guy that yells at himself like that. You're so dumb. Why did you? Don't put confidence in yourself. Don't put confidence in your flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh, the Bible says. But this grasp and this reassuring word is to give us confidence in Christ. Listen, our text deals with people who are afraid. They need courage and they need encouragement. Look at verses 6 and 7. They helped everyone, his neighbor, And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with a hammer, and him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for a soldering, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Giving confidence to one another because they lacked confidence. 9 and 10, they need confidence. Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, not cast thee away. 13 and 14, they need confidence. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. You know, a worm is a very vulnerable creature, critter, insect, whatever. I mean, I remember as kids, after an evening rain, we'd grab a couple of flashlights with Dad, and we'd go out in the front yard. It's dark. It's rained. And we walk through there in darkness. And Dad would say, all right. And we flip on the flashlight. And there'd be a nightcrawler on top of the ground. And then we'd dive. You'd dive for the nightcrawler. Because as soon as it sensed, worms don't have eyes or ears or nose or anything like that. As soon as they could sense the light, they'd shoot for that hole. And we'd gather a big can of them. We'd go fishing. We'd put a hook right through them, you know, and they'd wiggle and we'd toss them out there. My chickens love it when I turn over a log. Man, they love birds. You've seen the birds reach down there and grab one end and yank it out of the ground. A worm is a vulnerable creature. You know where the worm's strength lies? Really, in the only thing it has, its mouth. Its mouth. Job 25 says that we're worms. The psalmist in Psalm 22 says that we're worms. Isaiah, our text, 41:14, fear not thou worm, Jacob. We are vulnerable creatures. And our strength lies in the prayers that proceed out of our heart and out of our mouth. In other words, our confidence and our strength lies in God, in reaching God, in praying to God, in seeking God. We are vulnerable creatures. Listen to me. We could be gone tomorrow. We are weak as the grass. We fade as the flower. But our strength lies in our prayer to God. We have confidence in Him because He holds our hand and He tells us to not be afraid. You're a worm, but I am God. You pray to me and I will be with you. There is the grasp of salvation, the grasp of security, the grasp of our confidence in the Lord. There's a grasp where He reaches down and grabs our hand of assistance. His hand is there to offer us assistance. Every little child needs assistance along the way. You hold their hand to help them as they try to learn to walk. You hold their hand as they jump over a puddle or jump up on a curb. You hold their hand to help them down out of a vehicle. Child is always in need of assistance, a helping hand, a strong hand that will guide them across the street. And His hand is offered to us in assistance. He says, I will help thee. I wonder, are there any greater words in Scripture than those four words? I will help thee. Oh, there are. There are. I think one phrase that has got to be greater is that phrase, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's got to be the best of all phrases. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Has God said that to you? Thy sins be forgiven thee. But after that, I think one of the greatest phrases, I will help thee. Man, listen, we could charge hell with squirt guns with that kind of ammunition. I will help thee. How wonderful words. I'm telling you, if you have an issue with fear, if you're dismayed over and over again, if you feel weak constantly, if you feel like you're in need of help, these verses, verse 10 and verse number 13, should be printed out and hung somewhere where you can see them constantly, and you can see that your God is holding your hand and he wants to help you. Now, you don't need help climbing over a curb. Not yet. You will. You will. You don't need help jumping a puddle. You don't need help getting out of a vehicle. Not yet. But how many things tomorrow will we need help with? How many difficulties will we face tomorrow? Difficulties with family. Difficulties in finances. Difficulties at the job. We're going to face difficulties. Oh, maybe you'll have a rare good Monday. I don't know anybody that ever did, but maybe you'll have a wonderful Monday. But your Tuesdays, you're going to need help somewhere. Somewhere along the line, you're going to need help. And God's hand is there to assist you. Assist. I will help thee. What wonderful words. Amen? Yeah. Well now, that grasp is also a grasp of submission. Every parent of every child knows this. That grasp sometimes is not a grasp of comfort. It's sometimes not a grasp of love or friendship, as we'll see in a moment. But sometimes that hand holding, that holding the hand, is a grasp of submission. Because a child likes to run on ahead. Or they like to drag behind. And you as a parent, you grab a hold of that, and you, as you're getting ready to cross the street, that child gets ready to dart across, and you clamp down on that hand, and you pull back in an act of submission to submit that child that they might not be in danger. God holding our hand means that we would willingly submit to where he leads us. No pulling against God. No trying to pull free. Every parent knows about a child trying to pull free. No running ahead. No lagging behind. It's submission. We go where God tells us to go. We follow his lead. We walk in his steps. Oh, we like it. God reached down his hand and saved us from the miry clay. We like it that God's hand and the Father's hand and the Spirit seal were triple secure. We love that. We like that. Oh, we're happy that we have his hand and we can have confidence in him and trust in him because he is right there at our side. We love it that he helps us. We love it that he helps us. But we want to pull free and do our own thing. We want him there when we want help. We want him there when we're in trouble. But we try to pull free from the grasp of God and do our own thing. His grasp means a life of submission. Submit to him. Don't get ahead of God. Don't lag behind God. Follow his steps. And then I close with this. That grasp is one of friendship. One of familiarity. This assures the believer of God's affection for us. Now we normally think of hand-holding as a parent and a child. Occasionally I'll be with my granddaughters and Mia, you got a picture of me and Lauren outside a Cracker Barrel, snowing. We're walking through the parking lot, precious picture to me, and I'm holding her hand. We're walking. A sign of love, a sign of affection. We see a husband and wife, or boyfriend and girlfriend, a sign of love and affection. There are countries in which the men out and about, two friends walking together, will hold hands. And exactly, Albert. The missionary that first saw that said he was very perplexed, very disturbed, had pretty much the look that Albert had. But it wasn't what you think at all. It wasn't what you think at all. It was what friends did. It was what friends did. Friends held hands. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was maybe Papua New Guinea, if I'm not mistaken. They held hands. Holding hands is expressive of love, friendship, familiarity. And this hand of God, when he grasps our hand and tells us to not fear, assures us of his strong affection for us, his love for us. We read today, Abraham, my friend, expresses the friendship of God toward us. The believer may not only conclude that he is safe. The believer may not only conclude that he is secure. The believer may not only conclude that he has help. But the believer may conclude by the hand of God holding his hand that he is loved. That he is loved. Brother and sister, I think that some of you ought to go home and write out or print out Isaiah 41:10 and verse number 13 and put it someplace prominent. And I hope this sermon will prove to be a help to you. May God bless the teaching and preaching of his word this morning. May God bless his little flock at Beth Haven. May God always go with you, hold your hand, and reassure you not to be afraid. Let's pray. Father, bless.